Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
Hi, this is Katie.
Tyler.
And Bob.
We're Sunset Amusement.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Chris and Shane.
Rock on, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 11. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, all that good stuff. Get the newest episode, subscribe. We really appreciate it. Go on there, let us know how we're doing. It means a lot to us. Our guest this week is Katie Bob Tyler of Sunset Amusement, a great musical group who's played for us here. We're going to have some songs at the end of the podcast to stick around and listen to. But thanks for coming on, everybody. Appreciate you being on here.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're sitting, first off, in this beautiful home of you guys that, like, you set the mood. There's lights are dim. We're on this great, like, bar setting. Like, it's gnarly, so we're just going to move in if that's cool.
That's exactly why we built it.
For this podcast, so you guys can come in and move in. You've been waiting for us. Premonitions. So kind of let's start from the beginning of how you guys decided to kind of get this going. Because it is a family thing, and yeah, go ahead. Whoever wants to hop in and...
Sure. Well, I always remember guitars around my house. My dad kind of took a break when we were little kids playing guitar, but he's been playing his whole life. So around the time that I decided that I was interested in becoming a musician, or at least when I found out that I was a musician, he had started playing again. And started playing local gigs around town at different coffee shops and wineries and fall festivals. And then he started going down to Nashville. And I was about high school age, I think, middle school, and didn't really put too much interest in what he was doing. I kind of needed to have my awakening and wanted to do my own thing. And I heard...
You were involved a lot in choir and band at the time. And
theater.
And theater, yeah, of course. So you had a lot of other stuff going on. Yeah. And Dad was recording albums in Nashville, mm-hmm. like you said. So that's really where it all began was him, obviously, as we grew up, we were around it. But then also he started to really get heavily into it and doing all of this recording and stuff, and that kind of got us really wildly into it.
Yeah. So how long officially has the group been together? When did you guys start performing at different places?
As Sunset Amusement?
Yeah.
This will be our second season as Sunset Amusement. Katie and Bob have been playing together since about 2003 or 4?
Over 10 years.
Yeah.
As a duo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of curious. You guys play all different styles of music.
We do.
You know, so what, I guess we'll kind of go around each person. Who's your musical influences? Because I think it really helps. And if you say I listen to everything, that's totally cool because that's how I am. I listen to everybody and, you know, just love music in general. But like what, you know, I think each of you kind of bring in your own specialties, I guess, to it. So what, we'll start with Katie. Currently,
the guys always joke, I love the funeral marches. I love Damien Rice. I love the Civil Wars, Norah Jones, and then I like even Ingrid Michaelson. But then, of course, I love Patsy Cline, Led Zeppelin, you know, stuff from way back, too. But when I write originals, they tend to be very slow, a lot of harmonies, layered harmonies. Just focused mainly on the melody because I'm such a melodic. That's just where I tend to go is to the melody. Yeah.
I would say my main influence, I mean, in utero, I was listening to Led Zeppelin. My parents were huge Zepp heads. They tell me stories about how my mom would put headphones on her belly when she was pregnant with me. Same with Katie, too, I'm sure. And that's really my main influence is Led Zeppelin, classic rock. I played a lot of the Foo Fighters. Mm. So really like a classic rock bass. I listen to also like Slayer and things like that. So I'm the rock guy. Dad is too. He plays a lot of country and things like that. But yeah, I really like the classic genre of rock.
Yeah. The Beatles is my big breakout group. We moved. We had a brand new house when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I think I Want to Hold Your Hand came out, and I was running around serenading all the little girls. I knew right then and there that is what I wanted to do. It's funny because a lot of those ladies who might be listening reconnected with us on Facebook, and I always tell them, I go, "Oh, you're one of the reasons why I started playing guitar. I was going to crush you." But then the Jimi Hendrix Experience came around, and I think I had everything he ever did. Almost got a chance to see him. He was touring with the Monkees, but I think they pulled him off the tour before he came through St. Louis. We almost had Mom and Dad going to fall for that one and take us to see the Monkees. But then Eric Clapton, you know, a lot of different influences. Then Neil Young, heavily Neil Young. A wide, wide variety of musical influences. My mom was really kind of a hardcore country person. My stepfather, who pretty much raised me as his own, was a big show tune guy. So I got a heavy dose of a little bit of everything. And then my brother kind of, "Oh, you want to listen to this? This is what you want to listen to, right?"
This is the good stuff, right?
And then when I would get into it, he'd basically throw it out. It's like, "Nah, the little brother's into it, so I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore." But,
yeah. Well, I think that the more kind of... the more you can lend your ear to different sounds, I think the better. Especially for something you guys, where you guys do not only covers but originals. But how do you guys choose what songs you want to play? Obviously, there's that, I guess, the popular side of it where, you know, people want to hear certain songs. But how do you guys come up and say, okay, let's try this song? Or how do you guys go about learning a song? When I played guitar, learn tabs. Like, I'd go on the internet and look up tabs. But how do you guys go about learning a song and kind of...
There's a lot of favorites that bands play out there, and they'll always be played when you go to bars. But we kind of try and make a song that's got a lot of usage, and you know, our own song. We'll kind of do a little rendition of it, and then there's stuff that Tyler might come to me and say, "Oh man, listen to this." he's kind of like the guy who goes out and finds the new stuff, and I'm like, "Whoa." He found the Black Keys, and we're really heavily into the Black Keys.
Yeah, that's another main influence of us is the Black Keys. Yeah. We love the Black Keys, their new album. We've been listening to, I've been listening to constantly, and all their music is just the crooning blues, and then it's also at the same time they've got, you know, some real wailers where they just go crazy on it. So,
Kate, how you guys? I mean, so you like the new album, Turn
mm-hmm.
Blue?
Mm-hmm.
See, I. That one hasn't grown on me yet, but really? I like Rubber Factory.
Yeah.
Like, I think that one is just brilliant.
My favorite would probably be Attack and Release with Strange Times, and that's probably my favorite song by them.
Brothers album is Brothers one of the same, like, so many good, like, R&B influence in there, mm-hmm. and, like, anybody other one I can listen to, like, start to finish and skip a track and...
See, I just like the new whole direction that they've taken their sound. It sounds like their new album is a completely different rendition. A lot of people don't like that. I mean, when you listen to certain bands, you hear their evolution, and you're like, "Oh, well, I like the old stuff." But like I said, I'm pretty well open-minded to what people come out with. To me, it sounds like a whole new version of, you know, as they've evolved, it sounds almost like Pink Floyd or something like that. So I like to hear how a band matures through their career. Not to say obviously you don't, but I hear you. I can understand why you'd like their older stuff, because it is a lot more, their old stuff is, it's not necessarily grungy, but it does have kind of like a rugged sound to it, whereas their new stuff is really fine cut.
I love the story of with Rubber Factory. They said according to the story was that they had like this, you know, just cheap equipment, and they went in this actual rubber factory and recorded it. And, like, they pretty much knew, like, this was going to be the album that made them famous kind of thing. And, like, they apparently left the equipment there because, like, And I don't know, this is all like, this is what I heard off the internet.
It's all the legend.
So they left the recording equipment there, and like, but that album has such a unique sound to it, and stuff like, just the rawness, the gritty sound to it, and like, not the over-produced and polished sound that they're coming up with now, which, I mean, but they, you know, when they're putting out an album a year or whatever it is, you know, like, you got to get to the point where you got to have more professionals involved into it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you cut those huge record deals, like with Daft Punk, that was one band that's a completely different genre, but I love Daft Punk, and they just cut that album, that deal with Columbia, and they did this whole new album that's completely funk with, like, Nile Rodgers, I believe, but yeah, he's huge, well-known funk guitarist, and like you said, you just get to a point where it's like, if you want to make it, you've got to completely evolve, and change your sound.
Which is actually what we're doing right now. So as, like you asked, we're trying to choose, when we learn new songs, we're trying to pick up-tempo, you know, because we're playing at these bars later at night. People want to dance. They want to play, you know, hear music that makes them feel good. And so, you know, between the three of us, Dad will usually suggest songs from way back. And Tyler will say, hey, you know, that new Daft Punk song we're trying to learn right now.
Get Lucky, with Pharrell Rogers or Pharrell Williams.
I saw you guys at that food truck frenzy, and, I remember Tyler was singing "Play That Funky Music." So that's a good dance one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's for sure. That's one of our favorites because we can just kind of act goofy when we play it, that's the best way to do it, is just act like a fool, and you know, you just groove on it and.
Can I just say that I have a two-and-a-half-year-old son, so if you guys start playing Fresh Beat Band at any point in time, because that's all I've listened to lately is Fresh Beat Band, so, I mean, you guys start playing covers of that, my son will be right up there jamming and singing along, so all right, I'm not trying to push it in on you guys, but I'm just saying if it comes up. Okay. You know.
Either that or Let It Go.
Or the Frozen soundtrack, and every once in a while some Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah.
If you have time.
Yeah, my daughter sings, Eggo, Eggo. That's really all she can say besides mama, but she'll walk around belting that out, man.
Rocking it.
Yeah.
You know, then pretty soon you get her in the van and she'll be set. All right.
You guys ever watch AGT, America's Got Talent?
Yes.
Yeah. They had that family band on there with, like,
16 children or something.
Yeah,
something crazy.
But they got they got the two, like, littlest ones that are, like, 2 and 3 years old or something, and they're out there dancing while the others are... And it's, like, it's really a great act. Like, But they have, like, everybody's in, the whole family's in the band.
They range from, like, 2 to, like, 23 or 24 or something like that. But they're really, most of them sing. I mean, they all sing, and they have perfect spot-on harmonies, and most of them play instruments. So, yeah, it's
pretty wild.
Yeah.
So... Do you guys kind of plan on, like, would you like to go to an all-original type thing or eventually? Or do you guys really enjoy doing, like, the covers, mix of covers and originals? I don't know if there's, like, at some point you guys would enjoy to, I'm trying to think of how to say it, you know, be totally all-original and be able to kind of take your group and kind of grow in that form? Or is it kind of wanting to continue to do covers and mixtures of originals? If that makes sense, I'm not sure that question makes sense at all.
Well, no, it does. I don't think we've ever discussed that as a group, so we might get different answers from each person. I personally love to play covers, but you don't really connect with a song like you do if it's your own.
Yeah.
Or if you just have some kind of raw emotion with a song, you know, then you can. But I like doing a blend of both.
Yeah. And I think there's something fun about being able to write the stuff, but also there's that reaction that people just enjoy hearing those covers. And
they
to
sing along.
Entertaining them, and that's ultimately kind of what it can be sometimes, just letting people have a good time and taking them out of their whatever stress they may have in their life or whatever, and just being like, oh, I love this song, just going and enjoying it, you know? So I just didn't know if it was something you guys had ever talked about to say, you know, let's kind of migrate to all originals or whatever it is, which either way is fine, and, you know, I'm not like... You guys doing those covers again? Yeah. You know, I absolutely have no. You know, just curious.
Sure,
just as a, I used to play music, and so I didn't know how. You know, what you guys all.
Sure. Well, yeah,
we're currently doing a couple originals right now. We're kind of got a target in my mind anyway, is like getting out and being a self-sufficient band, and then going from there. I've got been a little bit of experience down in Nashville, but as far as us going down and making it, quote unquote, down in Nashville, I don't really kind of look at that town as that. I look at it going down there and recording down there, mm-hmm. and you know, putting some feelers out and basically putting your act together and taking it on the road from there.
Yeah.
If you impress people from that point, that's all, you know,
right.
gravy from that point on.
Yeah.
I think we've all kind of had that in the back of our mind. The first two CDs that I did were all original. And it's the experience of hearing your music on the radio is kind of like having these two right here when they were born. It's like looking at them going, oh my gosh, you know, no better feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And to have that feeling with, you know, maybe hearing our music that we wrote and, you know, put out on the radio, that'd be great. But right now I'm kind of just taking it one step at it, one day at a time, and
yeah.
going from there. But I think we're definitely capable of doing it. It's just a matter of getting, you know, our ducks in a row and going from there.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely no doubt the talent's there, because you guys just, I mean, you guys sound great. And
thank you.
It was great
thank
for you guys playing with us. So when you guys write original stuff, how what's the process of going into that? Is it just somebody, or are you guys kind of working on covers and maybe just start jamming a riff, or is it
well
kind of different?
Bob writes great melodies and lyrics. Usually,
no.
Well, I mean,
no. I've usually got an idea for a song in my mind, but as far as the lyrics go, no.
Well, anyway, usually he starts with a melody.
He'll just start playing
and,
something on guitar.
Yeah, and we'll yeah. just kind of
what
come
do you
together.
Hear here?
And
I'll start humming something, and Tyler will start, you know, drumming out a beat on his leg, and.
Mm-hmm.
That's really how it just starts. Dad usually just starts.
It's just kind of like a snowball effect. We start with a simple idea and just let it grow as we kind of just feel it, you
yeah.
know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a feeling that's probably how most musicians write, but I mean, there's really no other way to,
yeah.
you know, just create a song. You
well,
know, it's hard.
That's actually, like, entering that it sounds like you guys all really collaborate, because we've talked to a few guests who say, like, okay, well, you know, I normally write all the songs, the parts, and come in and bring them to the band, and then maybe we tweak it. But to say that, you know, maybe you kind of come up with a riff or a thing and then say, okay, what are you feeling here? And you guys almost collaborate and work on it as a group is actually interesting, I think, because I think some people will, you know, there's kind of one person that takes sole hold of it and says, okay, here's 80% of a song, and then the rest of the band hears it and says, okay, let's add these tweaks in here. But
right.
to say that, okay, I'm playing this, and then you kind of say, yeah, I'm hearing this, and it builds from the ground up as a group is kind of cool. Like,
right.
I personally, from what we've talked to a few people, that's a little more rare, I think, than...
How I, in the past, have written is, you know, I'll usually come up with a big hook
mm-hmm.
and then build a storyline around that. Usually, you know, we're down in Nashville, they like to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. I don't always like to have a clear, concise storyline. I might throw some tidbits at you and let you connect the dots from there.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people back when I was playing years ago in a band called The Kids. We had several original songs, and people would come up and ask us the meaning of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come up and I'd say, well, what's it mean to you?
Exactly.
And they go, well, I hear this and that, and it's like, no, that's not what it's about. Well, what it's about?
Yeah.
And I don't, it's, you know,
yeah.
it's whatever you want to, but,
yeah.
and then I made the mistake a couple times, me and the other guitar player told a couple different people what these songs were about, and they were just like, really? You know, it's like, so that was a mistake.
Completely
so.
Different.
But when I was down in Nashville with the Nashville songwriters, they'd be going, oh, you have to tell a story. You have to do this. You have to do that. And then you walk out of that place, and you'd hear Cornbread and Chicken by, you know, whoever
yeah.
on there. It's like,
right.
this is telling a story, and this is, you know, so.
Yeah,
it's my favorite song.
To me, it's a big hook. To me, a song is a musical emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It always has been. And when it, you know, usually a song will jump in my brain or whatever. And the really big ones that make it to paper are the ones I can't get out of my head.
Mm.
And usually what happens is I'll come to a point in the road where I've got a big gap, and I'll call Katie and go, what are you thinking about this? And she's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We wrote Lost on Love. That was she did a version of it, and I did a version of it. And how long did it take us to write that one?
30 minutes.
Yeah, one of those just came together. We wrote. I forget the other one we wrote. It's a great song. Down there and sang,
great song.
Sang harmony on Wrong Side of Love on a bunch of different songs, and they just, to me, I kind of, when I want to write a song, I'll usually break out to Hank Williams,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
I don't know what it is about Hank Williams Sr. I haven't had that with Junior yet, but Hank Williams Sr., you just put it in, and the next day, you just start, it just starts coming out of you. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You can't write it down fast enough. I've been trying to get into that mode the last 3 or 4 months. I've got some free time, hopefully, coming up, and that's what I'm really going to dedicate everything to, is just really kicking us in the butt as far as, you know. But when you that's kind of what we're really trying to do. I think, in my mind, I'd like to see us, you know, head in that direction. But then the life kind of gets in the way, and you're like, yeah. Oh, what are we going to do about this, or what are we going to do about that, or, you know?
So. Right. Well, it sounds like you. I mean, you guys are basically in a good place where you guys are just. I mean, just enjoy doing it, and that's like. Anytime you can have some kind of artistic release, whether it's music or whatever, you know, like, that's just, it's such a good thing to have in your life that, I mean, even if this is kind of what it stays, like, that's still just, like, a nice thing that you're not only getting to creatively play music and write music, but you're getting to entertain people and give them that good feeling, too. So, yeah, life definitely can, you know, you gotta fit within those restrictions of things. But, yeah, it'd be interesting just to kind of see as you guys grow. Where it kind of goes. I definitely agree with, like, when it comes to songs, like, I don't remember who it was who was like, wouldn't tell what a meaning of a song was, because that's like, that's kind of a point of a song. Is if you just every time said, this is what this song is about, you're gonna lose half the people who, people can attach that to different interpretations or meanings.
Every song means something different to somebody else.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the way it was. And to me, when I was younger, I never paid that much to the lyrics of a song. To me, it was the chord, the harmony, the hook, the melody of the song.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm about.
The drive. Yeah.
And as far as words, you know, can bad words save a bad song? No. Mm-hmm. Can a great melody save bad words? Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm a big believer in that.
I mean, you look at the White Stripes. No offense to Jack White. He's a musical god right now. But if you've listened to any of the White Stripes music, usually he comes up with good... I know he thinks the same thing. How did this guy ever record any music and make money off
deal?
Of it?
How did he get a deal?
Right. And he's singing about just random stuff, but the music, it comes together somehow. Yeah. There's this mesh that just works.
Yeah.
There are a lot of bands that make it that way, you know, and like he said, there's a
songwriter's
association.
I like him. He's fresh, really fresh. If somebody would have came to me with him, not knocking you, Jack or Meg or anybody, I'm just saying, if said, can we get like a couple hundred grand to sign this guy? You know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well, I know, like, when I listen to music, I really enjoy, like, listening to harmonies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
me too.
Like, when I was in college, I used to be like, I used to listen to just heavy, heavy stuff. And I was like, if it's not metal, whatever. And then you start to, a lot of people I hung out with were music majors and performing arts majors. And we started going to, like, plays, musicals and stuff. And I was still in the moment, I was like, this is why we listen to these musicals and stuff. And now I absolutely love listening to Rent or Wicked or anything like that.
Sure.
And like the American Idiot, the Broadway version of that, I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that like just these different, like the sounds I love more than, like words, whatever. I can just live if it's got a good harmony. And that's why I started to get away from like metal and stuff, is because if it doesn't have like something I can attach to and
melodic.
Yeah, melodic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll find myself singing harmonies more so than the lead, just because it just sounds, I don't know, I
more challenging. Maybe you evolve.
Yeah, or I'm not as good a singer and I can hit the harmonies, but I can't sit, you know, lead. That's probably what it mostly is, that I just makes me.
Or you just can't do screamo.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that blows my mind how guys are still doing that. Like, you'd think their voices would be shot.
I'm on the other side, though. I'm a songwriter fan. Like, I follow a lot of these guys around that are, you know, they're writing hits for, you know, Nashville and everything, all these guys. So, but yeah, there's a guy I just saw a while back, and his name is John Moreland, and I just think he's a brilliant songwriter. But he, when he does his songs live, he prefaces every song with, like, this song's about what it, because, like, he goes, he told the story of why he did, like, he said he went on the radio one day, and the guy asked him, like, well, what's this song about? And he's like, so he, like, I don't know, he just writes songs, and, like, you know, they mean something to him, but now that he really thinks, like, oh, this is what it's about. And, but so then he started, like, thinking about, like, well, what's this song about? So every time he starts to go into a song, well, this song's about, you know, whatever it is. And it's just funny, like, because he makes a joke about it that, you know.
When I released the two CDs and I was pushing them pretty hard, I was doing a lot of interviews and that, getting a lot of airplay over in Australia. And those guys, they wanted to know what the songs were about. And I'd say, well, I said, to me, every song means something. I go, what's it mean to you? And they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, is that right? And I'm like, if you say it is. And they would just drive them crazy.
Yeah.
But then I'd take it down to Nashville, and they were just looking at me like, no, you need to have a complete story. And you need to, you know, you really need to, this is a good beginning, you know. And I'm like, that's cool. Yeah. You know?
I enjoy when maybe, like, years later, if they come back and say, you know, hey, this is what, for me at that moment, what this song was about.
Yeah.
But I don't like when it's immediately the song comes out and someone says, what's this about? Like, Anne Berlin, they're just finishing up, they finished their last album, they're kind of going to be done, a band I like. And they went through and their singer went through and listed all what he was thinking, all the meanings to his songs, but this is now 10, 12 years later now. I like that part of it, but I would never want to, as soon as the song comes out, find out, okay, what is this? What's the song about? Because it does kind of take away the magic of connecting to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just as much, I think, part of the music is music itself or the performance. To me, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one reason why I really enjoy the Foo Fighters. I don't know if you've ever listened to any of their lyrics, but it's just got all of these subtle undertones and all of these metaphors that apply to just little tidbits of life, and you don't really catch up on what they're talking about when you first hear the song, but once you think about it, you're like, oh, okay, I kind of get it, you know, but you have to listen to it a few times in order to, you know, get that last puzzle piece to what they're talking about, and you're like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's one real reason why I listen to them a lot, because you have to listen to it half a dozen or a dozen times just to, you know, really dig deep into what it really means. And
have you ever gone through and like listen to a song, like, the song's awesome, and then you read the lyrics and you're like,
what?
Like, some are like straightforward, like, say, like, some that are like political, like, say, Rise Against, I'll listen to, and I'm like, you'll listen to it online, and then you go look at the lyrics, I'm like, oh wow, oh okay, and like, you totally different meaning, but sometimes I'm but sometimes I enjoy it more when I'm like, when it's more so like something I stand for, or like something like that. Then it's I may enjoy the lyrics knowing what they're saying. Then and that's probably the exception, is where it's something I really stand by or something I'm pro, whatever it is. I don't know.
I think I think pop music's bad about that. Like, you got all these songs on the radio and these kids are all singing along, and then it's like, do you even know what you're singing?
No.
Like, these, have you ever listened to these words?
Thought about the lyrics? Yeah, like, I know you know every single word, but do you know what they mean when they're combined in a whole?
Does it seem like to you guys, and it's gonna be kind of different generations of, like, the pop music today, and maybe just music in general, does it seem like it's almost like calling it in, like just totally taking an easy route compared to what music was? Because I know every generation's like, well, music today is not what it used to be, you know, but like, when I listen to the music today, I just feel like they're not even trying. They're just trying to find some kind of metaphor or something, and then just say, let's just, I don't know. It's the pop music especially. It seems like I'll hear songs, and like, what is this even about? And then I'm like, why are they writing? I don't know.
See, I feel like pop stars Katy Perry and all them, they're going for a big production on their stage show and putting in not as much work. You know, when they're recording the album, it's like they're focused on wowing, shock factors, and stuff like that, promotional-wise, instead of putting quality music together and hiring musicians and support, you know, stuff like that. I just feel discouraged when I listen to pop because it's all done on a computer and there's no, you know, soul behind it, really.
Right,
anymore.
I mean, like, if you listen to any, like, Pitbull, for example. Like, any Pitbull song has the melody or lyrics from an older song.
Right.
Pretty much. Like,
they loop it or sample it.
Jay-Z too, or I can't think of any other examples right now, but I feel like that's how the movie industry is kind of now as well. There are a lot of remakes of all these classics that everybody likes and all that, but
it's, yeah, it's I love to... Katy Perry.
I do too.
He's always watching her music videos.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, me too.
Not always just the video, but I like a lot of the stuff that she's done. What's the last one, Roar? I kind of question.
I mean, at
that.
Least hers is actually original. You know, it's not.
We watched that documentary on her, and like then I'm screwed because then I'm like, oh, okay, you are a pretty cool person. I'll listen to your stuff. Yeah. But if I watch the One Direction one, I'm probably like, oh, okay, these guys, okay, fine, I'll give it to you, whatever.
Well, I mean, you got to look at her target audience. I mean, yeah. You know, her target audience is probably what, from 9 years old to 22 or whatever.
One of her,
and I think
one
she's
of her
trying
hits.
To expand that, but I mean. She's definitely a money making machine, and she's definitely
absolutely.
Got an expiration date on her. But
yeah.
You know, you're asking yourself, how long is she gonna go? But
I mean, one of her hit songs is "Teenage Dream." So yeah. I mean, and you look at, like Katie said, her performances. There's like candy canes, and like her hair's purple,
like Lady
and she's
Gaga
wearing
too.
Lady
yeah.
Gaga as well. Yeah, those.
Wild.
Little monsters or whatever.
Yeah, you said Gaga. I heard her on. Stern's show one time, and it was just her and a piano, and it was just perfect. I
brilliant.
Was like,
yeah.
I was like, why aren't you doing this? Like, this is what
right.
you
because she'd be over
yeah.
already.
Yeah, but
know?
I was like,
yeah.
That way you sound like a real, genuine artist, you know, singing this because
mm-hmm.
this is. But like, there's so much of that stuff, like you know, all the makeup and the outfits and all, like it just disguises all that, and you take away from the art that what is her lyrics and her music
mm-hmm.
and stuff and. I mean, I understand it's a stage show,
right?
But you know, like all that's the meaning of those songs. I mean, there's a lot of depth to there.
Oh yeah,
it gets disguised because of all the
absolutely.
You know,
but could you see them see her and Madonna on the same bill? Wouldn't it be something? You know,
but I mean, yeah, I think there's an argument there. I think like in both sure, you know, she's getting marketed as that pop. Artists like that, but I think in the same sense there was a market for people that would truly appreciate her and just her and her piano. I mean, you look at guys
mm-hmm.
like you know, Elton John and Billy Joel, and they're doing it, and they've been doing it for years, and it's just them and
yeah,
piano.
And I mean Elton John.
True.
Well, I mean Elton John, you
well,
saw
he,
some of
yeah,
his elaborate costumes.
Tori Amos was just here
yeah.
last Friday night,
yeah.
so it was just her and piano.
Yeah.
I think she had a synthesizer behind her too.
I'm a sucker
but,
for
yeah.
just. A vocalist and a piano.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's something, there's a purity to just simplifying
mm-hmm.
it down to the minimal, you
mm-hmm.
know, and you know, that's also why I like a lot of acoustic music and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, too, and I don't, you know, but I like it all.
That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
We like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I mean, the people just eat that stuff up, you
yeah.
know, they eat up, you know, her dressed up in
sure.
meat dresses and stuff, because it gets
entertainment.
It gets
it's
that too, and you're like, whoa, she's in a meat suit, you're freaking out, she's singing good
really
music
hungry
too.
Now.
I wonder how many of them she had made. Or
right,
many.
I mean...
Yeah.
The people just love it, you know, they love that. You got to be that wild in order for people. It seems like you've got to be that wild in order for people to hear your music, or your music has to be that drastic.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be that loud, and I don't mean just volume. It has
which is
to...
why we're busy constructing a meat suit for Tyler.
Right.
You can come
yeah.
see us at the Barrel Bar
yeah.
next week, and it might be on, right?
You know, if there's one thing now, I mean, I just met you, but if that's one thing I said, he would probably look good in a meat suit. I can't.
Well,
I
was also considering, like, the drummer from No Doubt drumming in my underwear,
there you go.
Too.
There
so,
you go.
And with high platform shoes on, even though I'm sitting down.
They'll remember you. Should be set.
Was he Flea's brother?
Yeah, or the Flea. Katie could
get like an all underwear guy band.
We'll
something.
Just start a master underwear only band sponsored by Hanes. Michael Fruit Jordan
alone.
For the loon. There you go. Good deal. Well,
so what we got coming up next?
Yes, yeah, so let's go ahead. We unfortunately have to wrap up, but let's go ahead and
yeah.
say what you guys got coming up and where we can kind of check you out.
Yeah.
Well, this weekend we're playing a private show with a bunch of family, and we're looking forward to that a lot.
The meat suit's probably not coming out.
Yeah,
one.
The meat suit's
okay.
out of the question there.
That's a good call.
We better put it back in the fridge.
Yeah.
In the freezer.
Yeah.
Well, you could bring it, and then you could cook dinner for everybody.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Two birds
with
one stone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
recycling as well, kind of a bit.
Yeah, we're playing a wedding this weekend. We've got another big one at Montel in October, so we're happy to be playing at Montel. It's a beautiful winery. The 15th of August, we'll be at the Barrel Bar, which is kind of our new...
Kind of our new home base. It's right up the street.
We literally crawl home from there.
Yeah, we do. It's an awesome every time. Place. And then Rendezvous is another home base. The next night. Quite often, the 16th, and then we're back to the Barrel Bar. And
on the 23rd.
I'm going to be at DeLeo's Cafe in Florissant on the 30th. Mm-hmm. And then we've just inked a deal for... We were at the Food Truck Frenzy for the city of O'Fallon, and then we're going to be at the Fall Fest, too, in awesome. October. And we've got a few things coming up.
That'll be the O'Fallon Fall Fest.
The O'Fallon Fall Fest, right. The O'Fallon Fall Fest. And everything's listed at sunsetamusement.com, www.sunsetamusement.com.
And Facebook.
Awesome.
We're on Facebook.
Gotta have Facebook.
Gotta have Facebook.
Katie's got her own website, too, but...
KatieFry.com.
KatieFry.com.
Thank you guys so much for having us on.
Yeah, you guys rock, man. Yeah. You guys rock.
Come by and get drunk at our bar with us.
There you go.
Or just come hang out anytime. Yeah.
Well, I think we'll have to have you guys on again sometime soon because, we had to kind of cut it short here. But, talking music with you guys is awesome, and I love just getting different opinions from everybody and kind of seeing what you are. And we got to talk more about the meat, too. So
Maybe the next time I'll bring it out and show it around.
There we go. I know we're a size small, so if you can get that catered, too.
Okay. I'll get you one, too. We'll have a little fashion show.
That'd be sweet. So sunsetofmusic.com.
Yes.
Go check it out. And into this podcast, we're going to have two songs that you guys played. Turn Me On will be the first one, and Walk the Walk will be the second one. So check those out here. And again, sunsetamusement.com. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
1, 2, 3. Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.